No excuses. Now it's recorded. All right, let's go back to Matthew 13, where we were this morning. I've never been one to give titles, but I know that the guys back in the sound booth want to give titles, and I've learned if I don't give a title, the title that I get sometimes is...
How did you give me a beating?
Yeah, you'll find out. It's called Willing to be Planted, Willing to be Planted. We'll read our verses again in Matthew 13 and verse 24. We have the parable given. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barn. And then the explanation in verse 34, All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of thy kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of all his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of his Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I know that primarily when parables are given, that they teach one or two lessons in the parable, and it's just a foolishness to begin to try to add extra things to that or try to make some things that they very vague. Usually parables are very, very pointed, and the point of this message, this morning's message was very clear that there's those who act like Christians who are not Christians, and there's a danger in that. But there is another aspect about this that I want to look at, and that is that the man who sowed the field, the Son of Man, he desires to sow the field with his children, and that field is the world. And so he's saying in this passage that God wants and desires that throughout all the world that there are those that are his children, and he wants to see them to take root and plant and bring forth fruit. We know that the Bible tells us in the Great Commission of Matthew 28 that we're to go into all nations. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We know that Mark 16 says that we're to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so all nations and all the world, those terms are not negotiable, they're not debatable, they're not vague, but they're very clear that God wants his children to be found throughout the world and as seed that's to reproduce themselves. All the world. Does that include China? Does it include Saudi Arabia? the world. What's the meaning of all? You know, maybe we need to argue the meaning of all. Webster's 1828 says everyone, or the whole number of particulars, the whole quantity, extent, duration, amount. And so all the world means all the world, that God wants his children to be planted in all the world. I want you to think a little bit this afternoon about a field that's not been seeded, a field that's been left fallow, that's not been dealt with. Not doesn't take too many years for a field that's not been seeded to become a weed patch. It becomes an eyesore. It becomes a wasted opportunity. And morally and socially, where true Christians are absent, the world is worse off for it. I was doing some research about the worst cities in the world for crime rates and violent crime rates, and I found that 42 of those cities out of 50 they named, 42 out of the 50 most violent cities in the world are in countries founded and controlled by the Catholic Church. It's a wicked religion. It's a religion that doesn't change the hearts of men. Where the seed are not found, the Catholic Church, the tares are there. It's poisoned the whole society. That Christians need to be found throughout the world. Baylor University, who at one time it still calls itself a Baptist university, though it's truly not. But they did a research, statistics on showing how Christians deter crime. And they found that truly Christians do stop corruption in a society. And we talked this morning in Sunday school how the importance of light and salt. So God's seed, his children, planted in this world, has an effect upon the world in that it deters corruption. And so we think about the importance of Christians. Again, we say to you and point out, as we did this morning, that the seed here is not the Word of God. We know that the Word of God is going to have to be sown to bring forth fruit. But the seed here in this parable that we've read this morning and this afternoon, it is people, not the gospel, but people who carry the gospel. Children of the kingdom, it says in verse 38. And so we say again that God wants Christians to be planted throughout the world. Now, if that's the case, then we must acknowledge that for Christians to be planted throughout the world, they may need to leave their locality. They may have to go. Years ago, when Ron Lambert came here, he was a good church member, loved by the brethren, always cracking jokes and was godly, wanted to be used of the Lord. But for people to be affected on the Kenai Peninsula, he had to be planted there. Noah George, very brilliant young man. One of the things that he very seldom talks about is his opportunities he had. In our interview that I did, I told you a little bit about the second interview, but this morning, in the morning, the first interview I did with him, I was going to put on radio. He talked about coming to Alaska at 7 years old, living off the grid, his dad buying 40 acres and cutting the timber off of that and building a log house, and how they did without running water and numerous things. He went to the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and he talked about how eventually he comes to, you know, just out of kind of a challenge, comes to our church, and then he begins attending. But Noah George graduated the top of his class in physics. Noah George had His college professors were very high on him. They helped him. They were looking into, I don't know if they helped him or not, but they were looking into trying to get him to take graduate studies. They knew that he could become a doctor, have a doctorate degrees in physics, and he had a scholarship to go to a prestigious university in California that was a great physics school, and they were going to pay 50% of his tuition, which was a very unheard of thing. And he had that opportunity to go, and he went before his college professor, who was very high on him, and told him, "I'm going to be a missionary, and I might be going to Cal Poly Institute." Well, you have to be willing to be planted. You have to be willing to give up some things. He was willing to go to the Arab world and be planted. And though much of us are missing this morning, let me simply say to you that I think I'm talking to the group that needs to be talked to. And that the fact that perhaps the Lord wants to move you out of the pew that you sit in. Perhaps he wants you to go to a different place to be planted. Maybe even here to have a different job. With the terrible needs of the world, God sees and understands that his children can make a difference. And as we said this morning, emphatic, that only God's people are truly light to the world and salt. That we can only fulfill that need. And God doesn't want us 4 no more, or us 54 no more, or 64 or 74. But he wants us to spread out. And is there enough true gospel seed? I mean, true, not gospel seed, but Christian seed, true children of God who take the gospel can affect the world. I mentioned this here before in the past, but I believe there is. I don't think we need to be discouraged at all. I think God has enough seed in this world to affect the world. And we think we're very small in number, and no doubt we are. But back in the 1600s, the Puritans got on the Mayflower and other boats and sailed to the New World. And one of the things that they brought with them that did not exist in the New World was the dandelion. They used dandelion for medicinal purposes. And now in the Western world, Western Hemisphere, from Alaska to the bottom of Chile, dandelions are found throughout the Western Hemisphere when they never occurred before 1600s. A few seeds were brought to Plymouth. A few seeds were planted. A few seeds began to blow in the wind and begin to spread out north and south. And there's not a country that you can go to today, there's not a state in America that you can go to today and not find the dandelion. In fact, it's kind of prolific, and it's a kind of a nuisance. But I'm simply saying this, as seed takes root, and seeds begin to grow, and seeds begin to reproduce, they can be planted throughout the world, and they can affect the world. Someone has said there still remains to be seen what one Christian wholly dedicated to the Lord can do for the cause of Christ in this world. One seed, William Carey, went years ago to the country of India, preached the gospel for 7 years before a true convert ever was made. But one seed, who started out as a cobbler, a man who just pounded shoes together and fixed shoes, not a dull man, not a man who had no intelligence because he learned many languages, but a man willing to be planted someplace. Listen, our world needs seed. And only you and I can be salt and light to this world. Only you and I can be the seed for Christ. Brother Lambert, when he went to the Nilchik, affected his world for Christ. William Hudson Taylor affected his generation in China for Christ. One seed, Dennis Thomas, can affect his generation there and has in Central America. And as we said, Noah George can affect and is affecting the Arab peoples for Christ. One seed has the potential to affect their generation for Christ. It's Christ who sowed the world. Christ has given us life. And we can be effective for the Lord because it's His power, His working in our lives. Now, take your bean and look at it. Not much, is it? Kind of hard, kind of little. But as you look at it, it's so small. Actually, it appears to be very dead. Not much moisture in it. Not much life in it. Some other plants, like the pea seed, become shriveled. But when you plant that seed in the ground, the right temperature and the right moisture, it begins to grow. And it begins to poke through the ground. And green plants begin to come on it. And blossoms begin to form. And that which is very insignificant and dull, lifeless, becomes vibrant and produces beings. And so God wants us to understand this afternoon that those things which seem to be very insignificant, those things which are little value to the world, those small seeds, that He can take them and use them and change the world. He spoke of His seed in this way. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, that the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." And it goes on and says some more. But the point is that those things that look very insignificant to the world, as a bean seed or pea seed or whatever you're looking at, but you're looking at beans today, doesn't seem to be much life, but when they're children of God and they're planted, they are amazing. It's amazing what God can do with a seed that's willing to be planted. There was a seed in the Bible who said of himself, I am the less than the least of all saints. He considered himself very insignificant. He considered his abilities and attributes coming up short, but he was willing to be planted. And Paul became a great force for Christ. We have potential. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When I first came to Alaska, there was a bit of an atmosphere different than today. When I first came to Alaska, it was the idea if a man made it, that a man can run it, or a man can fix it. The idea was, we'll do whatever we have to do. And people would come back in those days, They'd buy a piece of property, clear it off, put a foundation down if they could, go into the winter, come back, throw the walls up, get some siding on it, go as far as they could, and then start again the next spring. If they had to, and many of them did, they couldn't yet afford the septic system, and they'd go out there and dig a hole in the backyard. You did what you had to do. And when I came to Alaska, there was a real willingness to do whatever you had to do. And from that came men like Brother Lambert. And from that came men like Noah George, who was raised off the grid. And men who knew how to suffer. And Noah, for many days, just ate oatmeal one of the winters that his dad didn't have much work. But they were willing to sacrifice and do what we had to do. I'm afraid that we've come to an age of time in Alaska when we're soft. And I also see this, that among young men, the process of maturing is way behind what it used to be. More years and more water has to go under the bridge before a man is ready to take some responsibilities that he should have took years before. But I'm simply saying this you see, what I believed years ago was that that Alaskans, it's not necessarily biblical, but it's just what I perceived. The Alaskans were willing to suffer. Alaskans thought it terrible if you didn't think they're tough. And Alaskans were made for the foreign mission field. And I simply say to you that this world needs Christians planted throughout it. You better bow your head today and thank the Lord that you weren't born in an Islam country. As I talked about this young man this morning who lived in Syria and never heard the name Jesus Christ or seen a Bible. Thank God that there are some Christians in Syria willing to be planted to reproduce themselves. And so look at your seed there. You see that it doesn't look like much, but know this, that God can use that which is insignificant. It doesn't depend upon you. It doesn't rely upon you, but it relies upon your trust and faith and obedience to the Lord. As you look at that bean seed, one of the first realizations you need to understand, if it's going to be more than what it is there in your hand, it must be planted. It has to be put in the ground. Are you willing to let God plant you? What motivates you? What stirs your heart? You see, God didn't just call us to make a good life and to live a long time. That's not His goal. What God saved us for, primarily saved us for, was to be seed. That we're seed to this world. That we exist for the purpose of spreading the gospel. We exist for the purpose of reproducing ourselves. That we are seed. Are we willing to let God plant us? Do we even open the doors to Him or give Him His choice? Do we even say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do that? Is there any kind of surrender upon our heart at all today? Is that too terrifying to you? Is that too challenging to you? God wants the best for us. God wants us to affect this world. Red and yellow, black and white. He died for them too. And there's no salvation without the preaching of the gospel. And someone must go. Are we willing to be planted by the Lord? Are we in the right area of the field? Are we here because of what we can get? Or are we here because we've been planted? Are you in the right country? Do you realize that where you work And where you live is not just where the rent's the best and the pay's the best, but it's your part of the field. And you need to affect those around you. Have you ever considered your purpose in life? And as I said, it's not to just amass to yourself a degree of wealth or to live out comfortably, but it's to be a seed. And so the first thing, a seed to grow must be willing to be planted. And so that little bean in your hand, it has no potential right now, doesn't have much value right now, but for it to take upon purpose and value, it's going to have to be stuck in the ground. It's going to have to be planted. This is not rocket science here. Secondly, it must stay planted. Very few plants survive who are set in the soil. They begin to grow, and then you transplant them to your garden, and they begin to grow. And then you reach down and say, well, I don't really want to, after they're about 4 or 5 weeks old, and you reach down and pull them up and say, I want to plant them someplace else. Few transplants survive being pulled up. And I'm not necessarily speaking about a missionary going from place to place, because we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But I am saying this, if we're going to be used of the Lord, we need to go to a place, join a church, get involved in a church, and let our roots sink down deep, that we might take upon some nourishment, we might take upon some stability. Being transplanted, pulled up from time to time, it's not good for seed. And so determine that I'm going to labor where the Lord put me. I'm going to serve Him the best as I can. I'm going to put down roots in my life, and I'm going to try to be the very best that I can be. I want you to note just briefly Psalms chapter 1, which talks a bit about planting. And I think this makes the point I'm trying to get at here, that we're going to have some stability about staying in the ground, staying where we belong. In Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And so you see that there's a progression towards ungodliness, in that first he's walking, and then he's standing, and then he's seated in the seat of the scornful. It goes from receiving counsel to standing around in the way of the sinners, and it's going to end up in scorning the things of God. And that's a terrible downward progression, and don't think that Christians can't go there. Primarily, it's talking about lost people, though. But he says, but his delight, the man of God, that doesn't walk this way or stand this way or sit this way, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whithersoever he doeth shall prosper. I want you to focus on that. We're talking about being planted, and the Lord planted seeds. And it says here, the guy who makes the law, God's law, his delight, and meditates in the word of God, he's like a tree planted in opposition to a tree that just springs up. A tree that's planted has purpose. It's been put there for a reason. And God has saved you, and he wants to place you in a specific place for a reason, that you could grow, and that you could prosper, and that your life would take upon a purpose. What a wasted life, folks, to go through this world and never care for a soul, never try to reach someone, just to live for yourself. Where is the purpose? But the Lord says there's a possibility to be planted, to have a purpose. The planted trees have a reason for being planted. And then look at the opposite. But the ungodly are not sober, like chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I was talking to the men of prison the other day, and I said, it doesn't say it's going to be like dirt. There's a great difference between chaff and dirt. Chaff is what is left after the grain has been knocked out of the head and it's there. But chaff, if you get dirt down your back, you can tolerate it. But you get chaff down your back out in the hay field or the harvest from the harvester, you're not going to tolerate it. It really rubs you the wrong way. And you're going to pull that coat off or pull that shirt off, and you're going to get it out of there. Well, the potential of not serving the Lord is simply to end a life and have a life of irritation. And so we find that a seed must be willing to be planted. It must stay planted. But thirdly, that if it's consumed upon its own life, it's potential is wasted. James says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust." And so I would give you those bean plants, and you have the opportunity to go plant them, but I give you those bean seeds, and you say, "Well, I'm hungry. I kind of like beans, although a little bit hard." And you take that and chomp on it and eat it and swallow it, consuming of yourself. All the potential is gone. Now listen. You can waste what God saved you for. You can waste your potential in consuming it upon your own self. Don't do that. A wasted life. And then finally, if a seed is going to produce, it's going to have to die. You can take those plants that you get in the packet in the spring. You can seed them in the ground. They come up. They begin to produce their pea plants or whatever plants you've sown. Beans, I've given you this case. Plants can come on those bean pods come on. These kind of beans, of course, were dry beans. They let them dry in the field, and then they come and harvest them. Pinto beans is a big crop in eastern Colorado. I was talking to a preacher down there who used to raise them. He used to farm. And they produce many of them. And so I get this big idea. I've planted my pea seeds or my beans, and they've come up, and I've got my string beans, and I got my peas, and I thought, you know, this seed business, buying them at over here at Hawk's Greenhouse, they're charging quite a bit. So I think I'll just go dig them up, dig my seed up, and plant them again next year. And when you go out there and dig up the seed that you planted that you got all those beans off of, when you dig into the ground, what do you find? All you find is the skin left. There's nothing there. It died to itself. And if we're going to be used of the Lord, we're going to have to die to self. We're going to have to live as Christ, and to die is gain. This is exactly what it said about Jesus Christ in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12 and verse 23. John 12, 23 says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat," that's a grain of wheat, "fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And so that seed to remain in a packet, that bean plant just to go by that seed not to be used, and doesn't fall into the ground and die, and ends up abiding alone. But when it gives us life, then fruit comes forth, and life was worth living. Just let me say this and then I'll close. I am fearful that Black Road Baptist Church can be consumed of its own self. I'm fearful that there's no vision for the world like there used to be. I'm fearful that we don't take seriously, pray the Lord of the harvest that he might send forth laborers into the harvest. I am disturbed that we aren't training preachers this very hour. I'm not calling men to preach. I'm not calling men to preach, but if I were, I'd call every one of you men that are qualified. I used to bow my head before the Lord and say, Lord, give us a preacher from every family. Our priorities must become the priority. We ought to beseech the Lord that he'd call men into the ministry. But let me say to you, and bowing your head and asking God to call men into the ministry, we're disingenuous if we cannot also say, here am I, send me. We're not asking for substitutes. We're asking for men that can be trained and men that will go. To live this life, keeping the seed in the packet, not willing to plant it, not willing to stay in one spot and grow, but just going on about the same old, going on about just maintaining your life. Listen, we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. This world needs seed. And we need to be serious about going and praying for more. Thank God for the seed who preached me the gospel. And so tonight, this afternoon, the preachers that I've influenced to be called to the ministry, I claim them for mine, and they all were duds. But the preachers that God called for the ministry, he planted them where he wants to plant them. All I'm asking today is for you and I, and you women, young women and older women, that you're willing to be the seed in your home or in your work or in your neighborhood where he's put you. And you men to be seed in your neighborhood and in your work, in your home. But let's remember this. There's a big world out there beyond North Pole, Alaska. And need the gospel. And cannot we sing from our heart, If Jesus goes with me, I will anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, wherever I be, when He is there. What a privilege we have of being seen. Let's pray the Lord of the harvest, the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into the harvest. May God use this however He sees fit. And if it makes you uncomfortable, that's what I intended to do. Because I'm uncomfortable. Let's pray. Father, we see Your principles in Your Word. We know what this world is. Lord, help us not to use the excuse that You're going to be shortly coming back. Help us not to look at ourselves as an old dried up bean plant, bean seed that has no potential. But help us, Lord, to look at You and the life that we have, that it might be utilized. May we change our world, our area of this great field. May we change it for You. May we reproduce ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.